Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In this pod, we chat about the draw against Stoke, the win against Preston, and answer your podcast questions. It's the Borough Breakdown Podcast, and this is our Borough Matchday Chatter in a pod.
Support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the air. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the treble!
Ravanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Ravanelli spots out. Emerson!
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown Podcast with Johnny Dinner and Tom. We're the Borough Podcast that gives you all of your Borough match day chatter in a podcast. And it was another four goals for Borough, 3-point gap to the Automatics, and Borough go arching on. Dana Moll, how are you feeling in three words?
Content with possibilities, I think, because a lot has been spoken about Borough's attempts of getting into the top two, but and I put a poll out on Twitter earlier on just asking, like, if it was between guaranteed automatic promotion and guaranteed promotion via the playoffs, which would you prefer? And for me, I'm happy with any result because it means Borough are going up. I'll just put that on record now. But for me, promotion via the playoffs would just be unbelievable, the pinnacle, you know, to go to Wembley and see your team win, I think is the pinnacle of being a football fan. But having said that, we're in a really good position, aren't we? Where we are trying to chase Sheffield United, but we're also cementing our place in the playoffs, which I think is maybe going under the radar a little bit because of the narrative in regards to Borough trying to get into the top two. But I'm just really content. We're in a good space. Good space because of the possibilities that are presenting themselves in front of us. So, yeah, all good in the hood.
All good in the hood. Tom Green, how are you feeling in three words?
Wow. Just wow. I mean, that performance yesterday was, for me, as close to a perfect performance as we're going to get. And I would even rank it above, you know, the 5-0 win against Reading, which was only a couple of weeks before. And I don't think it's unfair to say that Reading are a little bit of a mess of a club. But Preston were actually coming into this. I think, Dana, you said on the radio it was on the back of 7 unbeaten. Or something.
Yeah,
like
they were,
I didn't realise until last week they were actually up in 11th. And they are actually a decent team that plays all right football, and we made them look completely ordinary yesterday. That has even made me kind of like overlook any sort of like slight disappointment I had after Tuesday night's result, because for me yesterday it was just such a good display. I think that's I wouldn't ever give anything like you know, that was perfect, because I don't think that's ever achievable, but that's as close as I think we can get. That was such a good performance yesterday.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with my three words of simply the best, South Cleveland garages. Everyone who was from Teesside would have had that little phrase cropped in the head there when I said that. But yeah, I thought we were really, really good yesterday. I think simply the best because it was probably one of the best performances I've seen the Borough side having in a long time, really. I think it was pretty much perfect from start to finish in terms of how we moved the ball well, created chances. We looked really clinical in front of goal. And I feel like how many times am I actually saying like this, probably the best times I've seen us play since Carrick took over. So it's quite nice to see us go up another level and then keep going up more levels as we're progressing, and hopefully that's not the end of that, and we keep getting better and better as the season ends. But you know, keep going. I think keep going because I'm enjoying myself. I'm a bit disappointed that it's the international break now, but oh well, time to refresh and help us get and let us get going again for you know the running. But should we chat about the two games this week? And we'll go with Stoke first because an informed Stoke side came at the Riverside, managed to share the points, but it was an impressive display from them. But obviously the key takeaway from the game was Chuba scoring the 1,000th goal at the Riverside. I thought he scored the 1,000th maybe the week before, but he didn't. We got fooled on Twitter. It was 999. So, you know, he did score the 1,000th goal. And who else? Obviously, it was Mr. Cleveland Center himself, and he can't stop scoring at the minute. But Tom, it was a bit of a difficult game for Borough, but how would you assess the performance against Stoke?
Yeah, I was definitely expecting it to be difficult going into it. Stoke were on good form. I watched them against, I believe it was Blackburn on the Friday before, and they won 3-2, but Blackburn had come back in the last 15 minutes or so. And I thought, you know what, they could have got an equaliser. Stoke are beatable, even if they are on good form. But I fully expected it to be tough, and it was. They just pressed so well for me and just made it really difficult for us. After the first goal went in, and then Chubert hit the bar not long after, I thought, we've got him here. And from that point on, it just became more and more difficult. I thought we were a bit unlucky to concede the goal. Obviously, it came from Giles not properly getting a connection on a header. And you just knew the amount of times Zach Steffen's kind of done that this season, made himself big in a one-on-one situation, and it has worked. There was always going to be that one situation where it doesn't. And unfortunately, it was on Tuesday night. So, like I say, it by the end of the game, with how difficult they made us, I think, happy with a point, happy not to lose. But it was just such a, like I said, difficult physical game for us on Tuesday.
Yeah, and obviously, Dana, obviously Tom was saying there, only Stoke were able to make things difficult. How would you think they were able to implement their game plan on Borough on Tuesday?
Well, Tom touched on it there. It's the physicality, the athleticism. They are by far the most impressive side that have come to the Riverside in a long, long time. And I was a little bit cautious of this game because of the result that Tom said there, the Blackburn win and beating Sunderland 5-1 as well. Can't not mention that. But it was their athleticism. And I know it did particularly in the second half with Dujon Sterling because he was on my side, on you know, closest to the east. Every time Borough broke, and you know, Borough still are the most effective side when it comes to counter-attacks. We've scored 8 goals this season, the league's highest amount from counter-attacking situations. He was constantly toe-to-toe with whoever was breaking, be it Ramsey, Hackney, McGree, Akpom. He was quick. And I think to counter a counter, you need pace. And I think they had that. Will Smallbone was terrific. I thought he ran the show, to be honest. And there's not a lot of times under Michael Carrick that I've been able to say that Borough's midfield have been outshone, but we were outshone in midfield on Tuesday night. We looked a bit leggy. We looked slow. We looked off the pace. Our pass decision was poor. Our pass execution was poor as well. It was just an off evening, which was a shame because I cherish so much Tuesday night games at the Riverside, but it just wasn't out. We weren't at our usual standard. And in the end, Zach Steffen bailed us out massively at the end and he deserves immense credit. I did think, could he have done better for that first goal? I think Tom was spot on there in that he does make himself big a lot of the time. And unfortunately, sometimes you're just going to get done at that near post. But he came up trumps with that, with two really important saves towards the end in particular. So yeah, lucky in the end, I think, but Stoke's game plan, the pressing was really, really impressive. And that's probably the blueprint of how to negate Borough's strength. So I have to say props to Stoke for that.
Yeah, I thought they played really well as well. I remember looking at the team sheet when it got announced. I was like, bloody hell, all these players play for these. Like Wendell, like Sterling, Will Smallbone, like Ben Pearson. I was like, How are you 14th? I remember messaging Ben from the Wildlife Files during the game. Well, I was so confused. but I appreciate they've brought a few players in the January, and that's helped them develop a little bit quicker than the were originally under Alex Neil. But well drilled side, made things difficult, really good press. You know, I agree with you guys, Will Smallbone, who is, you know, at Southampton and he's on loan, but could easily see him make the step up again next season. Or he could maybe go back to Southampton with them, probably going to come down. But with how they're played, and it was really, really good. I did quite like, and I was looking at the average positions before we came on, they're in like a WM formation. This has been so common lately, this WM formation, the 1920s formation, where it's just so attacking and everyone loves it. And I love how like things come out of like they come out of trend and then everything comes back. Do you know what I mean? I quite like that aspect of it. But yeah, they were really fun to watch out of possession. So credit to them, made things difficult. And, you know, if there was like maybe another 10 games on top of the one that we had, and it was like we're halfway through the season, you'd think, bloody hell, these could probably get in the playoffs. But I think it's just a bit too late for them to make that run now. But I probably will see them in the playoffs next season. If we're still there, who knows? But if they're, you know, we have to play them again. I'm a bit scared about it. But the game itself, Tom, as it progressed, you know, Stoke got the upper hand in moments. And I feel like the atmosphere was just shifting ever so slightly. Were you surprised, obviously, given that Borough have been so good in recent weeks, to hear like an atmosphere which was just so tense?
Not really, no, because there were elements of encouragement at the start as well. But what I did notice was that when we reached a certain point in the second half where it just seemed like we were really pinned in, we couldn't really string two passes together. And their press in midfield was winning them the ball back high up the pitch and making sure we were on the defensive again. I think when that keeps happening and we're trying over and over to get out and, you know, string some passes together. And I think Denner touched on it earlier, there was some kind of like poor decision-making on passes and people just weren't in line for it. We did look a little bit leggy. I think that atmosphere is always going to come. I'm not saying, you know, it was like undeserved or anything, because I think in that type of situation, people are going to be nervous going into the second half. I don't think it was anything too negative or anything like that. I think it was just nerves around the stadium, and it was probably summed up accurately the feelings there. Because like I say, we couldn't get out, and if anyone looked more likely to score in that second half, it was Stoke.
And just on that as well, obviously, Dan, like, do you think like an atmosphere does like affect a match in a way, or especially a performance? You know, obviously that got a little bit of tense. Like Tom was saying there, Stoke got in a bit more and made things difficult because string a couple of passes together. There's a nervousness around the ground. Do you think that affects the players on the pitch as well?
It shouldn't do, because I think Michael Carrick's Middlesbrough will play the way that they do, irrespective of how it's received by the fans. But again, you know, they are human. I think with the highs of a crowd, when there's that siege mentality, if you like, and they're really getting behind the players, they can feed off that. Carrick has said it many times as Middlesbrough manager that the players can feed off that energy. But then that sort of, I wouldn't say it's so much negative energy, but the nervous energy is probably the best way to describe it. Potentially it does feed in. I will say that, and this is probably one of the very few bones that I have to pick with Middlesbrough FC right now, the atmosphere at the Riverside has been quite poor. I remember when we went to the charity match at the end of the season in the summer, and we were speaking to one of the stewards, weren't we, Johnny? And he said that last season it was the loudest that he's ever heard the Riverside consistently as well. Has it been so much the case this season? Because I think our songbook's just really dry. We need to get crazy little thing called Crux going in the South Stand or something. But yeah, that obviously as an outsider, as in an East Stander, seems to be maybe a little bit of a divide in the South from just my perspective. hopefully that's resolved. We're all Borough fans. We're on the same page. We all want so much for this team to do well. And hopefully we can just continue to back the team and just get even louder in our support, because I just think the atmosphere has been a little bit off of late.
I agree. You know, I agree. It has been a bit flat. I think it was definitely flat on Tuesday. And it's just difficult, I think. Sometimes when you win a lot of games as well, it can be the best and worst thing to happen to you, because that expectancy of winning every game starts to trickle in to the fan base, and you feel invincible. And then obviously you get, you know, I think the championship's really good lead to kind of knock you back down to earth a little bit, because anyone can beat anyone in this league. And it's just mad how competitive it can be, even though it's a weirdly poor league as well. I don't know what it is, the championship. I feel like, is it a poor league or is it just really competitive?
Both. I'd probably say both.
Yes.
Look at the bottom of the table. Look at how crap the teams are at the bottom of the table. It's incredible. All their form is like red, 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 grey, red, loss, loss, loss. It's crazy.
Well, that's why they're at the bottom of the league, then, because it's all red and
grey. No, but it's from like probably about 16th. down. So it's not just like, you know,
the weird thing is about that as well, there'll always be like one weird result coming out of it as well, like Blackpool beating QPR 6-1 the other day. Like, it would have ever saw that coming, considering where Blackpool are in the league.
Yeah. And also like Mick McCarthy being the manager, like, and don't get me wrong, like,
he's renowned for his goal scoring football.
I know.
God, well, you'd be embarrassed if you were QPR though, wouldn't you? The rock bottom of the form table the past 12 games, only picked up 6 points. That's bad.
Struggling, aren't they? Absolutely struggling. And I think they're lucky that probably Reading, you know, going to get deducted points, and there's probably three worse teams, I guess. But they're not on form, they're not. But I think they'll probably just scrape it. I think they'll just scrape staying up this year, and you never know what happens to them after that. But on Borough, you know, after the game against Stoke.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I appreciate, you know, everyone wants to win every game, and, you know, we're in this race now with Sheffield United for this automatic spot. But do you think there was some saying it was 2 points dropped, others were saying it was 1 point gained? I kind of want to hear your thoughts on what you think if it's 2 points dropped or 1 point gained, because it was a really difficult night, I think, for Borough. And obviously with Sheffield winning the day after, courtesy of an offside goal, of course. But it may obviously it widen that gap again. So then what do you think, 2 points dropped or 1 point gained?
It's definitely not 2 points dropped, because I think Stoke, if Stoke could have won that game, I don't think Borough fans could have complained about it. The way that the game panned out, we were lucky and fortunate to get a point ourselves in the end. Whether it's a point gained, we'll probably know at the end of the season, to be honest. I don't think it's something that we can judge so much right now, but I wouldn't say it was 2 points dropped, no.
Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Dana. I think if I had to pick right now, out of the two of them, I'd probably say it was 1 point gained, and that's purely because looking at the other more successful team currently in this division, in Burnley, they've just had recently a couple of draws, and I don't think they'll be looking at them as like, oh, 2 points drop. I think that's what a successful team can do. If you're up against a strong team, rather than lose the game, I think you'd rather take a point out of it. You know, if it doesn't look like you're going to win, at least get the point and carry some momentum on. That's what Burnley have done, and I think that's what we've done here. In the, you know, automatic promotion race, and looking at it really short term, I think people might look at it as 2 points dropped, just out of frustration of not being able to catch Sheffield United just yet. But I think that's still a good result, considering the form that Stoke have been on recently. You know, battered Blackburn for 75 minutes, battered Sunderland for 90. We've done well to get a point there, carry the momentum into the next game.
Yeah, and carry the momentum we did with a 4-0 win over Preston, and we were absolutely amazing this game. And Tom, how impressive was the reaction that we've had from that draw on Tuesday night? Because we just seem to have this knack of coming back at the moment.
Yeah, the weird thing is, for me, I don't feel that impressed by it anymore, because it just seems to happen so often, like you just said.
God.
It just seems like we'll lose now, and you just look at it and think, all right, so that's us winning the next game. And, you know, we didn't even lose on Tuesday. You know, there was a thing where it was actually on BBC Tees yesterday. Someone said bouncing back after a loss, and then I think it was Paul Addison who was presenting. He was like, they didn't even lose. That's the thing. But it just felt like it's like, just because we didn't win. But yeah, just such a good performance yesterday. Like I say, as close to perfect as possible. And I think once again, it does show the kind of character and mental strength of this squad, where they can put that behind them from Tuesday straight away and go out and do a performance like that.
Sorry, I'm trying not to laugh because Tom said character, Carrick.
Oh, I missed that.
That was unintentional.
I'm pretty sure it was. I bet Tom's like looking in the mirror before the podcast to say character. Character.
I was halfway through my sentence there. I seen Dana laugh, and I was like, "What did I just say? Like, did I just say what I think I said?"
Great character, Dana. Well, if were you impressed by Borough's win yesterday? You know, obviously the bounce back ability of us. You know, it's great to keep doing that. But in terms of being impressed of the performance yesterday, surely that was really, really good, right?
Yeah, no, I thought it was impressive. Although I do understand Tom's thoughts and feelings there, because it's just what we do. It's just the norm now for us. It's what we expect. But funnily enough, there was a point in the first half, and mind you, we hadn't scored at this point, where I just sat down and I was like, I love football. It's just, I had this like Patrice Evra moment, like, I love this game. But because we're just so in control, we 9 times out of 10 have the opponent exactly where we want them. And we are just so confident in being able to play out Carrick's game plan and more often than not beat teams. And our football yesterday was drool worthy, to be honest. The way that we were just knocking it about with ease, it was exquisite. And I think the opener just so expertly crafted probably epitomised it the most. But yeah, really impressed. And for us to score 5 at home and then a couple of games later score 4 at home, it's like a pinch me. What is actually going on? What am I actually seeing here? Because 1 goal off 70 scored in the league, that's nosebleed territory. It's crazy. But I love it. I really, really do.
Yeah, and on that first score then, because I know you're saying that it was a thing of beauty, and who else but Mr. Cleveland Center himself. Also, right, if he does hit 30 goals to Rakpom, right, does it get upgraded? Does the Cleveland Center go to the town hall? Or do we go to Mima, or do we just have a night?
I was going to say Dundas, but that's probably a bit of a downgrade, isn't it?
That's 10 goals, but...
10 goals, but does he have a night out, a night in Empire or something? You know, they'll do themes on nights out,
Flares rather than Empire.
That's... Flares or Empire, wherever he wants to go, But
just keys to the town, Johnny, keys to the town.
I mean, 30 goals.
Just knight him.
Do we knight him? There's just so many opportunities, he said he hadn't had a Palmo yet, so we can't do that, really. That's one goal in it. That's
if
like
Chamber one gets goal. 30, we're going to Manjaro's.
Tom, maybe. Well, to be fair, Tom, you did say if he hit 20 goals, you'd get a title of Akpom. So, I mean, why don't you just dye your hair blonde or something if he goes for 30?
I'll do that because I was, heavily under the influence of Stella when I agreed to the tattoo thing, and I really regretted it and couldn't go through with it when he did it 20. But no, I'll happily kind of sign up for that because I would actually do that.
All right then. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. It kind of takes me back to the days where I said I'd get horny for Warnie tattooed on my backside if we got promoted under Warnock, and every week it was, you're going to get a tattoo yet? I was like, well, no, because we're not going up. But, swings and roundabouts. But, Tom, here we go. Denimal, sorry, goal breakdown. Tube Rakpom. He's on his 25th goal in all competitions. He can't stop scoring. And it was a delightful goal. And it all started from Mr. Stefan himself.
Yeah, it does start with Mr. Zach Steffen, and Borough Break press really, really well at the beginning of this move, because we have one midfielder, in this case it's Housen, that drops deep, which Alan Brown basically follows that run. And then the knock-on effect of this is that it frees up Hayden Hackney as a viable passing option. And then Borough are able to work their way around him, and then what happens after that is that, well, the theme of this attack really is off the ball movement and creating triangles to work our way around Preston's shape. So Housen and Hackney engage in the first give and go, which ends up in Housen picking up a really good pocket of space about 25 yards out, and then we see another give and go just a few seconds later between Housen and McGree. Now McGree's run is tracked, so he doesn't end up receiving the ball on the return, but it shows that Borough's players aren't content with just sitting in and remaining stationary, much like how Preston's midfielders were. Borough, you'll see it quite often, the really fluid off the ball movement. They want to be able to pass and go and move and pick up key pockets of space to essentially open up the game. When you've got a structured and rigid team, I think that's the way to go to be able to essentially open them up and try to penetrate the defence. And then the final combination of this move is between Akpom and Archer, just close to the edge of the box. Akpom, as he usually does, drops into his usual number 10 position, which drags out, I think it's Greg Cunningham, which opens up a really nice opportunity for Borough to get in behind, which they do. And it's a really nicely weighted pass from Cameron Archer. It's just about received from Tuber Akpom, and he finishes into the bottom corner past Freddie Woodman. It's just a really good goal in which combinations are really important. Off the ball movement's really important. Given goals, 1-2s. Ryan Lowe said it after the game there. Our pass appreciation, our passing selection was really, really good. And you just can't deal with that. You know, as an opposition player, if you've got a team that are so good with their movement off the ball, it's like, who do you track? Who is the player to track? Because there's just so many options there for passing, for crossing. It's just, honestly, it's exquisite to watch. It's like that pinching hand, Italian hand. It's just amazing to watch. And that goal, again, I keep saying on this podcast when I break down the goals, another one to add to the really good collection of goals that we just seem to be piling in under Michael Carrick. There's another one for the compilation.
I know, yeah. If we had a goal of the season show this year, we'd probably have 45 minutes of just dissecting different goals, and which is great. I'm all for it. And maybe we can continue that towards the end of the season. But it's so nice to see simplicity done well in football, you know, like moving off the ball, 1-2s, stuff that anyone learns as a kid growing up in football. And, you know, it's so, when you do it well at such a high level, it is really cool. And I think Middlesbrough have just been so good and amazing on the ball. But it's the off the ball stuff in any game as well. Don't watch the ball, watch the people around it, because that is where you see the big things happening in football. And, you know, that maybe that's one for our viewers. You know, if you're watching the next Borough game, don't watch the ball for a while, just watch the players around it and you'll find some joy. But Tom, after Borough got 1-0 up, you know, they put the foot on the gas and they come away 4-0 winners. But how do you think we were able to dismantle Preston North End the way that we did yesterday, because it was so impressive?
Which is that good? as a short answer, like I say, it was as close to a perfect performance as I could possibly give it, and that is because everyone did their role so well. You know, it's just been pointed out in the goal breakdown there, Zach Steffen starting off moves. He was doing that so well yesterday, and then just the 10 outfielders in front of him all doing their job so well. What Ryan Lowe, I believe, had said in his post-match was that they tried to kind of cram the midfield area so that we couldn't go through the middle. But we have more threats than just that. We were able to get around the sides and get in behind quite often yesterday, and I think it showed even through the middle, though. You know, that first goal kind of shows it, and I believe the third one as well, where there's just such good kind of like link-up play. And Cameron Archer's a big part of that in terms of the partnerships that he has with the players around him as well. I just think that's worked so well for us yesterday through the middle, and then he exploiting that the space on the sides has helped to get us up the pitch in the first place. So I think there was another thing that Ryan Lowe said, that Borough were just better than he thought they were going to be, and he underestimated them a little bit. And I think that's an understatement based on Preston's performance yesterday.
I've got a bit of what he said, and I don't have the quotes that you've just mentioned there, Tom, but he said that they are a very good team. Everything they do, the movement, interchanges, passing, pass appreciation, shots, goals, the energy, they have got the lot. So fair play to Michael and his team and players. Middlesbrough Football Club is now on the up for where they want to get to. I thought they were fantastic today against a team that was probably a bit under par. We were not quite at it, but the fact is they are a good team. Thanks, Ry.
And back to you in the studio. Really good impression of Ryan Lowe there, Denner, as well. Thought it was Ryan Lowe on the podcast for a second there. I was like, but yeah, they managed to get him on. to be fair to Ryan Lowe, like, look, I think his Preston side are a bit strange, in my opinion. You know, from when we played them in the November when Carrick took over, you know, obviously it shows how far we've came as a team as well. So from when we played them at Deepdale to now, and we absolutely blown them away. But they've just stagnated in mid-table a little bit. And they've always been a bit strange, Preston, because they never wanted to go up to the playoffs and never really been in a relegation scrap. So then, I don't know. I think maybe the epitome of them yesterday was Cannon having 3 touches in the entire game, or 3 passes or something in the entire game, might have been.
Three passes.
And would you be worried if you're a Preston fan, or would you want a little bit more from them? Because when I'm looking at Ryan Lowe, like, he is such an impressive manager. He was amazing at Plymouth. And what he's done there and what he did there was amazing. Obviously, Schumacher took over now and it's still going even more. But would you be worried if you were a Preston fan? Because they're very different from what he was creating at Plymouth.
I wouldn't be worried. I'd just be bored out of my skull, because they just don't offer a lot. They have recorded the most 0-0 draws in the league this season, and I hate 0-0 draws, unless it's the rare occasion where it's genuinely a good game, but the stars just haven't aligned for either team to score. I just hate watching 0-0s. They could be good points at the end, but I just hate watching them. And they've recorded a lot of them this season. And their fans, I was looking through their forum after the game yesterday, and it was just, they're very tired of this style of play. I think Ryan Lowe was good at Plymouth, but he's probably a little bit too stubborn. He he's sticking with his principles, but it's not really getting them anywhere. And I think it does come to a point where he probably has to look at it and think, things need to change here, because they just didn't really offer anything apart from the save that Zach Steffen made in the second half, where it was at a tight angle and he gets a good hand on it. They didn't offer anything at all. And that's just been their season. They're somewhat decent defensively, which isn't the right timing to say, given the fact that we put four past them. But over the course of the season, they have been somewhat okay defensively. But offensively, they're just toothless. They're just blunt. And I think I wouldn't be worried if I was a Preston fan. I'd just be bored.
Yeah. I think, it's like, obviously, with any manager, it's just be flexible. It's got to be like flexible, be tactically, but also like, if the goal really is a bit rigid and you want to have, like, you know, get to the playoffs, be rigid with your goals, but be flexible how you get there.
There it is.
I'm trying to say, it's a great quote. And speaking of goals, Cameron Archer scored too. See, what a great segue into the next point I wanted to do, but obviously he scored two yesterday against his former club, and he was really, really good yesterday, Cameron Archer, and he's been great since he's came in. I'm just thinking of the Sheffield United game as well, where he's even better. But Tom, what makes Cameron Archer so effective in a Borough shirt?
What doesn't? I mean, he's got so many good attributes. You know, fast link-up play is great. Like I mentioned earlier, the partnerships with those around him, and I think that low centre of gravity what's the right word for this?
The strength
he has, I don't think a lot of people expect it. There is a word for it. I'll probably realize it after the podcast, but I think it takes a lot of people by surprise. So, like, 6'4" defender will be coming in trying to knock him off the ball, and he can hold it up fairly well in that type of situation as well. So I think he's got a lot going for him in terms of his physical attributes. He reads the game really well, and like I said, I believe this was a quote from Carrick after yesterday, but he's got such good partnerships with those around him, and he can create with the link-up play and also get on the end of it as well. So definitely seemed like that missing piece that we didn't have in the first half of the season, I would say.
Yeah, he definitely gives us a different dimension, brings people in and around him, creates a lot of space. And that's a great thing about any forward. If you can create space and also take your chances, you're going to go somewhere in football, to be honest. But then you were singing his praises yesterday, and you have been for like the last few weeks. But what do you love about Cameron Archer?
I think Tom just touched on it a bit there. It's the fact that he's 5'8" and yet can and has the ability to ragdoll 6-foot-plus centre halves around. That's honestly the combination of explosiveness, finishing, physicality, and pace. He's just very well rounded, and I honestly think he can go on and play for England. I know he's part of the England under 21 setup, which is fantastic, and hopefully he does well. But he's just a purebred finisher. He really, really is. For him to have 6 goals and 3 assists in 12 games, 9 goal contributions in those 12 games, that's an impact. And I do think it's somewhat rare, or maybe not rare, but unexpected or potentially unlikely, I don't know, for a January signing to make such an impact. But we've got two of them, with Ramsey and with Archer. But Archer in particular is just some talent, and savour him, because I honestly think the next season he will be part of the Aston Villa first team. If Ollie Watkins leaves, Aston Villa have a ready-made replacement, somebody that can, I think, easily slot in and do a really decent job and just grow from there. He's just a fantastic, fantastic talent.
Yeah, and to the Aston Villa fans watching this, you don't want him back. He's garbage. just to be honest, just give him to us. We need a striker next year. Just give us Cameron Archer. It's fine. I think to kind of quote Harry Redknapp a little bit, where he just goes, I think he can go right to the very top when he goes talk about like Lampard. That is exactly how I feel about Cameron Archer. I think he's great. There's just so many things you can say about him, and it just wow, isn't it? What a great signing. I hope we can keep him next year, regardless of what division we're in. Even if it's just for another loan, because he just brings so much to the group and the team. And I think everyone around us would just love to see him for maybe one more year. But I think he could do it in the Premier League now. And, you know, if he gets the service, or he's creating his own service, he'll do the business. But obviously with Borussia's win now, you know, that's took us to, you know, 3 points away from Sheffield United, but a goal difference of plus 27, which is actually two more than Sheffield United now. And it's crazy to think of where we were when Carrick took over, and now we've got such a good goal difference. But Tom, how much does it really matter, a good goal difference? Does it really make too much of a difference?
I think it just gives us another potential opportunity to overtake Sheffield United now. I feel like this has been coming for quite a few games now. They haven't been doing well, whereas we have. We've been catching a one goal difference. The whole conversation has been, can we get more points than Sheffield United, which obviously I still want us to do. But in the other scenario that we potentially end up level on points with them, then we can still go up off the back of this as well. So I think it's really important for where we are in the league. We'll take that every day. And I just think, looking at it now, it just shows the form we're in compared to the form they're in. And it can be another thing psychologically where it's like, we're coming for you and we know we're better than you.
Yeah, definitely that. You know, I think if they have Norwich in the next game right after today's FA Cup game, and, you know, if they don't get a win there, you've lost to Middlesbrough, you've lost to Luton, you're losing or not picking up points against Norwich, and, you know, psychologically, how does that play a part in the running? Because the running in itself can be quite difficult for anyone. You know, I think there's different strengths of different teams, you know, which can beat your weaknesses. And it doesn't matter, I think, regardless of league position. I think different teams can cause problems. Like Stoke causes a lot of problems. Yes, they're a good side, but they might have strengths which, you know, magnify our weaknesses a little bit more. And like vice versa for us against Preston, you know, we might have had so many strengths that we got rid of their weaknesses. But what does the run-in look like, Dana? Because, you know, there's not many games to go now. Borough hot on the heels of Sheffield United. Borough fans want us to hit the strike while it's hot. But how does it look like for Sheffield United's running?
Well, for a couple of weeks now, I think the conversation has been about Sheffield United's tough running, tough fixtures. They've probably negotiated through that now. They're on the other side. Their fixtures do start to turn slightly in their favour and slightly against Borough. They actually have the easiest, and I say that in air quotes there, run-in of the top six of the Championship in terms of opponents, PPG 1.34. Borough, on the other hand, have a slightly trickier run with 1.46 PPG for our remaining opponents, including 1.57 PPG of our next four opponents, of course, Burnley, are in that. But I think four of our remaining eight games are at home, and only two teams in the Championship have accrued more home points than us. So when I look at Sheffield United, yes, they have a slightly easier running in terms of opponents' points per game, but I just think Borough's home form could play a really, really important part. And then when you look at Luton's running as well, 1.48 for their remaining opponents in terms of PPG. So they technically have the trickiest of the playoff bunch when it comes to the run-in, the trickiest run. We have to play Luton, of course. But it's interesting, is it? Because we're looking at all of this and we're sort of trying to plan and plot and see where things can change and can swing. I will say now, I do believe that there will be a point that Borough overtakes Sheffield United. I'm somewhat confident in that. Whether that means that Borough will end the season in second, I don't think so. But the way that we're going, the way that Sheffield United are going, I wouldn't be surprised to see us overtake them. But we both have to play Burnley, and I genuinely think one of us is going to beat Burnley. That's my bold prediction. One of either Sheffield United or Borough are going to beat Burnley, and hopefully it's us.
And Sheffield United did beat Burnley earlier on in the season, so that aspect of it. But,
did.
But with you saying, Dana, that we could be finishing second or take over.
Oh, no,
one
no,
point,
I didn't say that.
I think you
don't. You be putting words in my mouth, Mr. Bullock.
I'm not doing anything, but I'm just saying if you would like to curse Middlesbrough Football Club like Dana Malt has done there, you can get a Malt Curse t-shirt at tside.co.uk/TheBorough Breakdown. As you can get a Nice Slide Club shirt, which Dana, you are rocking right now, and the 100% of the proceeds go to the Motor Neurone Disease Association, which we're raising money for this season. It's really, really good charity. Does a lot of great work, and hopefully we can try and find a cure for this horrible disease. But let's move on to the praise and place. Segways quite nice, that, because, you know, praise in the M&D Association. Now we're going to the praise and place. And the praise and place is a place we like to give praise to a player, coach, a staff member, a fan, our merch, and so much more. So we had some people that were saying who we asked the people, you know, who is in your praise and place this week, folks? So Paul Smith said Johnny Howson. He was difference maker, was everything everywhere all at once. And Si said Stefan deserves a mention, crucial to us setting up players. But Tom Green, I'm going to come to you first this week. Who is in your praise and place?
It was really difficult after yesterday's game not to just go with a cop-out answer and say, oh, everyone. But based on the two games this week...
Give us an answer, Tom. Give us an answer. Don't be a cop-out.
Based on the two games this week, I'm going to go with Zach Steffen. He made some very important saves, kind of redeem himself on Tuesday after the Stoke goal had pretty much gone through him. And yesterday, I just thought he was great in that team, as was everyone. But as I said there, he was crucial. It was setting up players, takes three players out of the game, you know, in the first goal for us, and he was doing that consistently. Like, you could sense the Preston forwards' heads going down every time they tried to press, and they either just played it through the middle of them or like played out to the side to Fry or Lenihan. So definitely got to go with Zach Steffen for this week.
Okay, then. And Dana Malt, who are you going to go for?
Well, I think it's only fair that after Preston at home, I reflected on Preston away. And Tom Muldowney asked us a question. We put this clip on Twitter as well, where he said, if you were offered 15th now, would you take it? And I sat there and I thought about this and I said, of course, with my whole chest. And I'll tell you why I said that. Because when Michael Carrick was appointed, I will hold my hands up and say I was not enthused at all, because I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know what he would offer us in terms of his coaching philosophy. We knew nothing. And therefore, I was hoping that this season we would just solidify our place in the Championship, because, mind you, we got a question that very same week of, do you think Borough will get relegated, or what the chances do you think of Borough getting relegated? So that was very much the feeling back then. And I thought, okay, this season we'll stay in the Championship, we'll have a safe mid-table finish, and then next season, that's when we'll start to progress and do something next season. I am just amazed, really, at what he's managed to do. The fact that we are having conversations about the run-in, can we get second? That's incredible. That is really, really incredible. So props to Carrick for that, because my expectations were on the floor. But I always said that it's a blank canvas and it's up to him to get us excited, and he's got me excited. So I want to put Michael Carrick in there because I just think he's been fantastic, and hats off to him for that.
Yeah. First,
and no, I wouldn't take 15th right now. No, I don't even think we can finish 15th this season, can we?
No,
well, I think we can. Well, we'd have to have one hell of a drop-off.
We can't get relegated. That's about as much as I know in terms of potential positions.
Get in.
Start again next season, you know. Go again. But well done to you, Tom, though. I believe that we wouldn't take the 15th, and you were like, I just want us to finish as high as possible, and you never know. We could finish second.
I just saw this coming, to be honest. So yeah.
Visionary. Visionary.
No, I will just also kind of back up what Dana said, that I had no idea what Carrick was going to offer at that point either. Me saying I wouldn't take 15th is purely based on I don't want to just kind of like write the season off after however many games up at that point. I think it was 19, it might have been 17, I can't remember. 17, yeah. I didn't want to write the season off at that point. I feel like we'd done that a couple of times over the last couple of years, and there was like no pressure on Wilder or I don't think Warnock was in that situation, but we maybe had a slow start or something. I can't really remember. But I didn't want to be in that situation again. I'm impatient. So I was just like, I'd rather we just win as many as possible. But who could have ever seen this coming?
If you're losing games, just win. You know what I mean, Tom?
Yeah, yeah.
Just do that. Just do that. That's good. But, yeah, it was a great prediction, Tom, to be honest. It was you believed all along. I think mine for when I was saying about managers, it was Carrick or Edwards. So, I mean, two good development coaches who are both flying high in the league. So I'm just going to take all of that and be smug about it. And then you watch, we both miss out on the playoffs, just go on a massive losing streak. Both get sacked. Anyway, my praise and place will probably go to Max Force or Mick Schumacher, whoever you want to whatever you want to look like, or the small angry birds.
Yellow angry bird.
Third person.
Wait, pause. What did you just say?
The small angry bird person. Just didn't really know how to describe it, to be honest. So
yellow angry birds.
Just a big old angry bird, you know.
Shout out to T-Side Tom for that.
Shout out to T-Side Tom, yeah, who has great merch. I don't know, yeah, Marcus Force, I think he's really good. You know, come back into the side from being on the bench last couple of weeks. You know, and he's coming back in, he's scoring again, a different goal contribution. What a great signing, you know, like he's came in and, you know, didn't get a look in from the first half of the season, really, and just the form he's been on. And, you know, a call up to the Finland squad as well, and thoroughly deserved. And, you know, just deserves all the praise he can get. But I think collectively as a group, you know, everyone deserves a bit of praise. But I can't say that because it's a cop-out answer. So anyway, let's move on to questions. Then let's round the podcast off with some questions, because each week you get the chance to ask us your questions, and it's via Twitter, Boris_breakdown, email at theborisbreakdown@hotmail.com, or by joining our Telegram chat where we chat nothing about Boris at all. So the first question, it's from Liv, and I'm going to come to you, Dana, first. And Liv asks, do you think Balassa is getting fairly criticised, or is it taking him some time to get used to things here at Borough? Bit of a strange one, but what do you think?
Yeah, he come under a bit of stick on our Telegram chat and on Twitter as well after the game on Tuesday night. Listen, nobody was good on Tuesday. I honestly couldn't pick out if we did the praise and place immediately after that game, I don't think I'd be able to actually put any money in it. We were just, everybody was off colour, unfortunately. I think people underestimate that changeover when you go from essentially being a big fish in a small pond at Rotherham to being amongst these sharks at Middlesbrough, if you like. I mean, I'm not painting us out to be like an elite giant or anything like that, but hopefully you know what I'm trying to put across there. It will take time. It will take time. And it's a different team, different style, different manager, different expectations. Footballers just need time. And I'll reiterate what I said on our Telegram, that footballers aren't mechanised entities that can just be rewired and reworked to work on command. They just need time, patience. And I don't think it's fair to write Balassa off after, I think it's 2 20-minute sub cameos, 1 30-minute sub cameo, and 88 minutes in his full start. And then a game yesterday as well, cameo yesterday as well. I just think that's unfair. So let's wait and see what we can see from Dan Balassa. Don't forget, he unlocked the door for us a couple of weeks ago at home in one of our games. He just needs time.
Okay, then. Next question, it's from Kevin. He says, ignoring the potential of automatics for a moment, who would be our ideal opponents in the playoffs? I'm guessing Luton would make the final, but I'd like to avoid Millwall if possible. Tom Green, who would you like in the playoffs?
I absolutely do not want to tempt fate by answering this properly. Like, there's no easy games in the playoff mix. I mean, looking at the teams in it, we have beat them all, but there's no easy games, and it's going to be a completely different scenario in the playoffs. So if I'm going to answer this on anything, I'm going to say Blackburn, based on they're an easy away game to get to. So we can do both legs of the playoffs, and then we'll all be going to Wembley anyway. So,
oh, I don't know. Like, remember our trip there last season?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's That's also tempting fate a little bit with you know, saying they're easy to get to. There'll probably be loads of traffic like last time we get there 3 minutes after kickoff. But in terms of distance, that would be the best one. So
okay then. To be fair, maybe a hot take, but I think Coventry are gonna be the team we play. I think they'll finish sixth. So tough old game.
I'd go to Coventry again. Like, you know, nice stadium. They do double pinters in the concourse. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with it, you know. Everyone wants a double pint. But I did love the cliche there, Tom, of there's no easy games in football. It is a favourite of mine, just behind the squeaky bum time. I think that's one of my favourites as well. I do love a good cliche. Anyway, next question, it's from Phil, and he says, are we happier chasing Sheffield? Pressure all on them. I know we have to overhaul them at some point if we want to go up automatically, but is it better to leave it as late as possible? Denmal, what do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, especially the last part of the question. I think, firstly, I would rather us be the chasers than the chased. I think you can probably capitulate a little bit more. You ride on that wave of potential, as I've mentioned on previous pods. I was watching Benjamin Bloom's video the other day. Not Benjamin Bloom. And he was just saying that if Borough overtake Sheffield United now, we would have to sustain really hot form until the end of the season. The ideal scenario for me is trying to get in there as late as possible. But will that happen? I don't know. It could do. It could go right to the wire, and that would be really nerve-wracking, but really exciting. Lots of peak EFL, Sky Bet Championship drama. But I think leaving it to as late as possible is probably, it might just be the best thing.
Just to kind of add on to that as well, because you mentioned the pressure's all on them. I think you can tell with what's coming out of their club at the moment compared to what's coming out of Borough. Carrick's always stressing the boring press conference thing that I touched on a few weeks ago. Like, we just look ahead to the next game. We're not looking at the table. We're purely focused on this. And then you see midweek, Heckenbottom's coming out and saying, oh, it definitely helped because we were all watching the Borough game last night. And when they dropped points, we were happier and we, you know, could go on to do this. Like, if they're that affected by what we're doing, like, you can tell we're already in their head. So I think the pressure definitely is all on them, and they can definitely sense that. I think it's going to be a real test of their character, spelt with a CH, not character.
Yeah, and to be fair, even like the stuff that's been coming up as well, right? Like, with like saying, oh, they're trying to save money and all this, like, kind of stuff, and just feels like things are starting to, I don't know, like, fall apart a little bit, but it's you just never know, do you? I think it's going to be a really difficult run in. I think we can do it. Like, why not? You know, why not? If we keep going the way we're going, who knows? We'll probably do something special. But guys, thank you very much for joining me as always. To listeners and viewers, thank you very much for watching us and listening to us as well. And don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on our podcasts on Spotify or subscribe to us on YouTube. That helps us get found and all of that fun stuff. But that's it. 4 more goals for Borough. Borough go arching on. This has been the Borough Breakdown podcast, and that was all your Borough Matchday chatter in a pod. Up the Borough Breakdown.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.